All right, let's grab our Bibles today and turn to James chapter 5. If you need to borrow a Bible, lift your hand, or ushers can let you borrow one of our extra ones in the back if you need one. And I don't see any hands, so I'm assuming nobody needs one. Okay, well, James chapter 5, and then also you can turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. James chapter 5, 2 Peter chapter 3. Yes, we will stand in a moment. I see some were already standing almost. James chapter 5 and 2 Peter chapter 3. Really, we'll use 2 Peter chapter 3 a little bit later. If you just save that, and then you'll want to save your spot in James chapter 5, because we're going to work out of three verses there this morning. And will not be long, just about 20 minutes if you give me your attention this morning. And James chapter 5 is where we'll start at. And a little later in the sermon, I want to read a portion of Scripture from 2 Peter chapter 3. So if you want to look that up now, you can. And then you can follow along with me. And there's enough verses to it that I think I'd like to get you to follow along when I read that portion of Scripture in 2 Peter chapter 3, rather than me just reading it to you. But James chapter 5 is where we're going to start, and I'll give you about another 60 seconds to find that. And then we'll go from there. James chapter 5. 2 Peter chapter 3, James chapter 5, 2 Peter chapter 3. There's a lot of sickness going around. A lot of people have flu and sore throats, runny noses. But I don't have one, so don't give it to me. Just teasing. I don't have one, though. I'm not teasing about that part. But James chapter 5. Well, actually, I don't want it either, so maybe I'm not teasing about any of it. So, all right. James chapter 5, verse 7. If you have that, we'll stand and stretch. Like I said, a little bit later, we'll look at 2 Peter chapter 3. So if you don't have that right now, that's fine. But James chapter 5. Verses 7 through 9 we'll read, and then we'll pray and let you be seated. And it says this: Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. And verse 7 will be our text verse this morning. Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. And today we're going to talk about living like the Lord is coming today. Let's pray, and then you may be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we're asking you, Lord, to bless this time this morning, Father. We're thankful for the folks that have come, and we pray for those that are sick, Father. Quite a few of our regular folks out sick, and we pray that they'd get better, Father, and over this sickness. And we just pray, Lord, for the ones that are here, that you'd bless them greatly, Father. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. The Lord's coming is the one event that every Christian, I think, longs to see when that day comes. Amen. That's the time when the Lord will come. He takes his own to heaven. Amen. Those that have accepted Christ as their Savior, that is, those are his own. The dead in Christ, the Bible says, will rise first. And then those of us that are alive and remain shall go also and meet him in the air, and be caught up together then. What a day that's going to be. Amen. I'm looking forward to that day. It's going to be a wonderful day. To be honest with you, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if it happens before I die, and many of us in this room die. It's probably that close. I'm not predicting any dates. I just say it's close, I think, to that day coming. But throughout time, a lot of people have thought it's close and so forth, and we don't really know the exact day or hour, even though some make predictions and so forth. We talked about in my Sunday school class next door this morning about how we were talking about poor handling of finances. We talked about how all them people talked about that world coming to the end on, December 21st or something, because of that Mayan calendar thing. And I said how people went out and they bought cars cars and big screen TVs and all that. And they said, we got to pay for that anyway because the world's going to end. Well, they're wrong. They're still here, and they might be dying of a heart attack because of the bills that are coming in the mail now. I don't know, but they're still here, and they're going to have to pay for those things, or else send them back where they came from. But the truth of the matter is that the Bible is very clear that we don't know the exact day or the hour, except for the Father does. But that day is coming. And every Christian should live life with a view of the Lord's coming, that it's near. And that's how he wants us to live. Amen. God shows us in James chapter 5 just how we should live as we wait for his return this morning. Number one, I'm going to give you three things about that. Number one, first, we should be patient for the Lord's return. It says in verse 7, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Amen. So, in other words, we should not lose hope that the Lord will return. Every trial that we endure, every heartache that we endure, everything that happens, we've got to be patient for the Lord's return. We've got to be patient. We must not allow the heartaches and the trials and the things that we face to cause us to quit. To cause us to, that's what we get tending to do. We feel sorry for ourselves and say, well, Lord doesn't care anyway. I'm just going to quit on God. I'm just going to quit going to church. I'm just going to quit reading my Bible. I'm just going to quit because if he cared, he wouldn't let this happen to me. No, don't do that. Don't ever quit. You got to be patient, amen. He's coming. Just like the farmer must be patient for his crop to mature so he can reap the benefits of his labors, likewise, every Christian must be patient for the Lord's return, so we also can reap the benefits of our labors for him, amen. You got to be patient, amen. And I can understand how those who I think face physical difficulties become impatient with the Lord's return, but you can never lose hope, and you should never stop serving as long as you're physically able to the Lord. And everybody can serve to some degree, even through Bible reading and so forth, to do something for him in view of the Lord's return or his coming, in spite of the difficulties sometimes. It is certainly understandable for a Christian to become discouraged, I think. We live in a world that's dominated by sin. Amen. It's true. It's dominated by sin and sinful things that go on. But you got to be patient. Got to realize the Lord's coming back, amen. Continue to avoid the temptations of this world, but realize the Lord will reward you for living for him, living the right kind of life. Got to be patient, amen. Yes, there'll be times you may want to quit, but don't allow the trials to cause you to become too impatient so you quit. Realize that every promise the Lord makes, he keeps, amen. You must live patiently, awaiting the Lord's return, because he is coming back, amen. Another thing about this thing of patience is don't ever let scoffers discourage you, because there's always scoffers, and there always will be. There has been throughout time, and there always will be. Look at that piece of scripture I asked you to look up in 2 Peter there, just real close to here, but 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to have you follow along while I read this, verses 1. I'm going to read a little while. Let's see, at least through verse 9, I think. But let me let you follow along here. It's in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 9, we'll say. But starting in verse 1, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days, that's where we're at, folks, the last days, scoffers, walking after their own lust. Verse 4, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Talking about who? The Lord, amen. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Verse 5, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water, and in the water, verse 6, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished, talking about the flood, but the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, in verse 8, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And folks, one of the biggest reasons why God would delay his coming is to give more of an opportunity for wicked men to repent and come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Does he not desire for all to be saved? He does, doesn't he? However, rest assured that if they mocked in Peter's day, they're still mocking today. Amen. They mocked in Peter's day, and they did right there. But they're mocking today probably even more in our day. They were saying, since your fathers died and they preached of his coming, everything has remained the same, is what they said. However, God works on his own time frame and is a lot different than man's time frame. Amen? A lot different. God works in his own time frame. Go back to verse 8 of... what we read here. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. Notice this statement here. That one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Just remember one thing about the verse. God created the earth in how many days? 6 days, right? What did he do on the seventh? He rested. Is that right? Amen. Now, according to creation experts, and even what we can learn from the scriptures, amen, the earth's about 6,000 years old right now. A day is as what to the Lord? 1,000 years. A day is as 1,000 years to the Lord. That's how quickly it passes for him, amen. When Christ returns, he will establish his 1,000-year reign of Christ, which will be a time of what, according to the Bible? Rest. A time of rest. Rest. Amen. Rest. God always works within the number of seven quite often. The number of perfection or the number of completion is what the number seven is. Remember, 6 days he worked. The seventh he rested. A day is as what now? 1,000 years. And the earth is about how old? About 6,000 years old, roughly. So guess what? We can't be too far away from the seventh day, which would be the next 1,000 years, which would be the millennial reign of Christ, which millennium means 1,000. 1,000-year reign of Christ, which will be a time of rest, and Satan will be bound during that 1,000 years, and at the end of the 1,000 years, loosed for a short season before he's finally thrown in the lake of fire forever. So we're close to that time. Now, amen. I would say quite definitely we're close to that time now. Not predicting any dates. That's foolish because we cannot know the exact day or the exact hour for someone to say it's such and such a day at this time and all of that. That's nonsense. But we can say, hey, we can kind of tell roughly about what time period we're in by studying the scriptures and seeing what it says. So we're getting close, folks, to his return. We need to live with a view of his return. Amen. Number two this morning. Number two, secondly, let's go back to James chapter 5, if you saved your spot there. Secondly, we need to fix our hearts on what we believe. So you need to fix your heart on what you believe. Amen. Let's go back to James chapter 5 and look at verse 8 here. He says, be ye also patient. So we see patient emphasized again, don't we? But then notice what it says. Establish your what? Hearts, right? Establish your hearts. God knew in the last days his own children would be deceived. Deceived by what? False doctrine. That means false beliefs, amen. False teachings. If they did not do what? Establish their hearts, or same thing as establish their hearts, amen. So they need to establish what they believe, or establish what they believe. Christian, if there's ever a time you need to settle what you believe, it's right now. You should know what you believe, amen, and you need to figure it out, and you need to establish your heart in it and be solid in what you believe, amen. People whom we would have never thought would compromise have compromised. They have. People that we thought were great leaders in Christian circles have compromised. Why? They didn't establish their hearts in what they believe. People that were Christians that sat by us at one time, either in this church or maybe some other church, if we were somewhere else and saved before we got here, they compromised and went away. Why? Because they didn't establish their hearts They didn't establish their hearts and what they believe. People get sucked up from Christian churches into cults like Jehovah's False Witnesses, amen? Just so you know, that's a false belief system. It's a cult, amen? Mormons also a cult, amen? They get sucked away into those things. Why? Because it sounds so good when they present themselves on the surface. What happened? They didn't establish their hearts on what they believe. If you know what, if you're born again, blood, amen, blood-bought Christian, amen, washed by the blood of the Lamb, amen, you need to establish your hearts about what you believe about this thing of salvation, and then anybody who comes along who doesn't believe that way, you got them figured out, amen. I don't need to have anything to do with you, because that's false teaching, that's false doctrine. Hey, Paul said, even if an angel came down from heaven with another gospel, let him be a what? Accursed. Let him be accursed. Amen. He said then even further, he said, even if me and Barnabas come back to you and we present to you another gospel, let us be accursed. So he said, listen, this is the true gospel of Jesus Christ, the fact that you were born sinners, that you deserve hell to pay for your sin, that Jesus paid that price for you, and you must accept him as your personal Savior to go to heaven. If anybody believes something different than that, then that's a false doctrine, that's a false teaching, and let him be accursed. But in this day and age, so many people are sucked away by these people that have false beliefs. And you cannot lose your salvation if you've been truly saved. That part's good, but you sure can waste a lot of your time. I'll tell you, a guy that used to come to our church for years here, even for, he was real inconsistent at times. For one whole year, he came every Sunday morning to Sunday school and church. He made a New Year's resolution, said he was going to do it for a whole year. For a whole year. And I ran across him a while back. He hadn't been in church for, oh, well over a year here at least. And he's now a Jehovah's Witness. And he says, this is the true way, and we're spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And blah, 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 blah. Hey, listen, people get sucked in easy. Easy sometimes. And I told my wife, I said, I don't understand people like that. I said, he don't know what the book says? I said, man, he sat here for a whole year and listened to me every Sunday. And I said, bless God, you think he would have learned something in a year? I think he would have learned something in his heart, amen? And who knows, maybe he don't really have Christ. I hope that's not the case. But you think he'd learn something? Establish your hearts. We get sucked away by some, so we get mad and criticize. Well, let's go through the book. How many times they criticize false doctrine, false teaching? All the time. Let them be accursed, they said. Let them be accursed. Folks, those things lead people the wrong way, and they lead people away from God. Too many have fallen away. Too many have turned from the faith to this present world. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:10, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. We should be forsaking. We should not be forsaking true men of God who are preaching the truth, but instead forsaking those who are preaching from and teaching from different books other than God's book, folks. Number three this morning, let me give you a third thing here. Settle the differences with the brethren. Settle the differences with the brethren. Look at verse 9 in James 5. Sorry, verse 9. Grudge not one against another, brethren. So in these last days, we can have relationships with those close to us destroyed if we don't remove grudges from in our heart. In the last days, that's what can happen. So in other words, God's teaching us not to live self-centered lives in the last days. These are not days when we should be living for ourselves, but these are days when we should live for others. Folks, that's important to remember. It's days when we should live for others. That's not always easy to do. But that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to think of somebody else sometimes besides just ourselves. That's what he wants. You know, the other day I was up in the hospital waiting room. And I was there, and actually Brother Steve Johnson, who came from Colorado to visit my dad, the pastor there in rural Colorado, but he was here and some others, and we were in the waiting room area there, and a lady walked by, and she kept staring at me, kept looking over at me, kept looking over. I thought, well, this is odd. You know, this person's kept looking over, and I thought, you know, what's that, I got something funny on my face or what, you know? Kept looking at me. And then finally she said, excuse me? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, are you a pastor? I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, I thought so. She said, I've seen you before handing out some flyers for your church. She said, around town. And she said, I thought you were a pastor. She said, can I talk to you? I said, yes. And she said, listen, my mom He's in the ICU, and he said, I need a pastor to come pray for her. He said, she's really hurting. He said, she's unconscious, and she suffered a heart attack. They don't know if she's going to make it. And she said, I really need a pastor. Now, I prayed with that lady's mom. I also had the opportunity to talk to that young lady and lead her to Christ about how to go to heaven, because she didn't know. But here's the thing. I could have said, well, I'm busy right now. My dad's just a couple doors down from your mom, and we're kind of busy. Now, I could have done that, but I didn't. And I'm not trying to brag on me, but I am trying to say this. We got to think about others sometimes. Amen. Sometimes other people need help. Sometimes other people need prayer. You know what? They saw me Friday. One of the fellas that's associated with that group of people been going up there visiting that lady. Eddie's his name. And I'll tell you, he was smiling, shaking my hand. He said, thanks so much. I've been in there a couple times. Pray for their mom. He said, she's going to make it. He said, so we appreciate so much you coming to pray for her. And he said, that means so much to us. And folks, you never realize how you can help somebody sometimes. And what just took a little bit of my time seemed to mean so much to those people that are associated with that lady in that room right there. The truth is, they don't really go to church anywhere. They didn't really have a pastor, so they recognize me. Oh, yeah, we've seen this guy around handing out gospel tracts is what I'm sure I was doing. He's a pastor. I remember him. That's why she kept looking at me. She was trying to figure out who I was, because I think she knew who I was. I think she's just trying to muster up enough to interrupt our conversation with the group of people we were sitting with there. I just wasn't sure what the lady wanted at first, because she kept looking over at me. But the truth of the matter is, live to be a soul winner. Tell others about Jesus. Amen. Live for others. Help others that are in your help. Help brethren and sisters in Christ that need help, and they need help getting out of it. But don't hold grudges in your heart towards others, for that'll hurt your testimony and your witness and the way that God can use you in your life. And it's important for us to remember that. Now, let me ask you this morning. Are you living your life with a view of the Lord's return? Are you living your life that way? Is every action you perform the type of action you would want to be caught doing if the Lord returned right now, during that time when you're engaged in that activity? Let your patience help you live your life with a view of Christ's return. Live every day as you would want the Lord to catch you if he was to return at that moment in time. Folks, this could be the day. So now's the time to decide to live appropriately if you're not. Because today could be the day. You never know. Let's stand to our feet.